And this is Leslie Curran saying hello and welcome in the Saviour's name to our Gospel broadcast. I'm glad you're joining us today, and here to Let the Bible Speak is the Reverend John Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Curran, and welcome to our broadcast, may I also say. And I pray that today the Lord will draw near and bless each of our listeners through the preaching of his own precious word. Today we want to turn our attention to a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And that verse is verse 22, where it says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." In this verse, Paul speaks of being in Adam, which means in union with Adam, signifying that Adam, the first man, was the representative of the entire human race. Furthermore, the proof that Adam represented all of mankind is clearly revealed in these words, "In Adam all die," or "all men die," as it could also be read. Here is one matter that all men have in common. The entire human race is subject to death, succumbs to death, and then passes away. There is no one exempt from death. Death, therefore, is actually the proof that all men have descended from a single source and representative. But being subject to death is also proof that all men have sinned, because death is the product of sin. We read in Romans 3 that the wages of sin is death. We read in Romans 5 verse 12, "Whereas by one man, that is Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." So, since we're subject to death, that is proof that we all have sinned. And therefore, since you are subject to death and will one day go the way of all the earth, you have proved to you thereby that you are a sinner in need of a Saviour and a Deliverer, in desperate need of someone to set you free from sin and from all the ravages of it and all its terrible repercussions. Well, we rejoice that this verse proceeds to reveal that there is a Saviour, a Deliverer, one who saves from sin and death and all its repercussions. We thank God that that person is set before us clearly. "Even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Put it concisely, here are words in which the sure and certain and glorious hope of salvation is set before us in very plain terms. Through the person and work of Jesus Christ, there is a way of escape and there's a way of deliverance for poor, guilty sinners. As we think about these words, "even so in Christ shall all be made alive," we notice a number of points. There is, first of all, a glorious revelation. "Even so in Christ shall all be made alive." These words are the glorious revelation that Christ also is a representative, the representative of guilty and fallen sinners. The fact that Adam was the representative of men opens up the way for Christ to be so also. In verse 21, notice what it says, "By man came death." That's Adam, the first representative. By him came death. And then it goes on to say, "By man came also the resurrection." And there the focus is on Christ, the other representative man. In verse 47 of this chapter, Paul says, "The first man is of the earth, the second man is the Lord from heaven." I want you to think about that carefully. There are only two representative men in all of human history. There is Adam, the first man. There is Christ, the second man, the Lord from heaven. Adam, in the very beginning of time, represented the whole race when he was under the test that God placed upon him, the test of perfect obedience. And of course, Adam failed that test and brought sin into the world. And yet, in failing the test, the whole human race failed the test because they were all represented by Adam. But here is the great gospel truth coming before us, that Jesus Christ is also a representative man, and he has done a work that reverses what Adam did. He undoes all that Adam did by his disobedience, by his fall, and by the bringing of sin into this world. And the Lord Jesus Christ also did what Adam did not do, that is, Christ has given the obedience to the law of God that it requires. Now, this is the glorious revelation of these words, in Christ shall all be made alive. In order to do what Adam did not do and undo what Adam did do, the Lord Jesus Christ had to become man. Again, notice verse 21, observe the emphasis on human nature. By man came death. By man came also the resurrection of the dead. Notice the emphasis on man, by man. By man sin came, and death because of that man's sin. Thus by man deliverance comes, that is, in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Men need to be saved. God's program of redemption is for men. It is for members of fallen humanity. And the point is that only a man is able to save them. This is the teaching of Scripture throughout, that the Saviour of men must be of the same nature as those he came to save. He therefore must himself be a man. And we rejoice today that there is a man, the man Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2 verse 5, it says there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. The Bible emphasizes the humanity, the true, real humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank God it is a perfect humanity, a sinless humanity, a humanity in which there's no spot or blemish, there's no fault in Christ, there is nothing lacking in his character, his person. He is the impeccable God-man. And as the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ has done everything that is essential to save sinners. Read the words again, in Christ shall all be made alive. So he became man, and he has done all that is required in order to save. What did he do? Well, he gave full obedience to God's holy law. He came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. I want you to think carefully of what I'm saying here, because this aspect of the Lord's obedience to the law is little understood, and yet it is vital, it is foundational to the gospel. We are seeing that for the sinner to be saved, then the law must be obeyed. This is what God teaches in his word. This is what Adam was under at the very beginning. He was under the moral law. He is to give obedience to it. He failed to do so. And every man is under the law, born into the world under the law, in the sense of being obligated to give a perfect obedience to it. And God has not changed his method of dealing with men. The Lord requires you to give a perfect obedience to the law. But the problem is, no man is able to do that. Now, that doesn't remove his obligation. That does not somehow or other sweep the law aside. Just because man's in a state or a condition where he can't give the obedience the law requires, the requirement still stands. The law remains. Your obligation to it continues. And this is where Christ steps in, because Christ came and he gave the full obedience to the law that the Lord required. He suffered the penalty of the law then. We are told in Galatians 3 verse 13 that Christ has been made a curse for us. He has endured the curse of the law, and thereby he sets men free by being made a curse for them. Therefore, he suffered the penalty of the law. That's the nature of the death of Christ. It is the law's penalty being inflicted. It is therefore a death in which there's the satisfaction of divine holiness and divine justice. Therefore, his death was an atoning death, involving the shedding of his own precious blood in order to satisfy the just demands of a holy God. Then the Lord Jesus Christ not only gave full obedience to the law, not only died under the penalty of the law, but he rose again to demonstrate the victory that he had won. That's why the resurrection is the capstone of the whole work of Christ. Jesus Christ rose from the dead to signify that what all he had done in his life and in his death was satisfactory to God, accepted by God, and therefore God saves men on that basis. So there's a glorious revelation here of the Christ of God and his perfect work. Then there's a glorious relationship. It says, in Christ shall all be made alive. Now we have a relationship with Adam in that we're in Adam by representation, by our descent from him, by inheriting a fallen sinful nature from him. But if we are to be saved, we must be brought into a relationship, a glorious saving union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what happens when a sinner is saved. He's brought to the point where he is then in Christ, which means he's united with Christ. He and Christ are one. You are in Adam. You're under the wrath of God because of sin. And to be saved, you must be in Christ. But how does that come about? Well, the answer is given in the Word of God. It is by faith alone. It is faith in Christ Jesus, the second Adam, that brings about this union with the Lord Jesus. Faith in his person and in his work. And I therefore urge you this day to flee to Christ and trust him as your Savior. Come into union with him. Come into Christ and be saved from your sin and your guilt. And it says here, in Christ shall all be made alive, or to put it in a form that really makes it very, very clear, even so shall all in Christ be made alive. You see, not every man's in Christ. Not every person is in union with the Lord and won't be in union with the Lord according to the Word of God, because multitudes will perish. And therefore, it's only those who are in Christ who will be made alive, who will enjoy this glorious resurrection, who will rise and reign with Christ forevermore, and throughout the endless ages will rejoice before. May you seek the Lord with all your heart today. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Make sure that you're in Christ by going to him and trusting him as your Savior and knowing his grace in your heart and in your life. He will deliver you from your sin. May the Lord bless his word to your soul this day.